The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another strange and wonderful Kiefer and Curry. You never know what we're going to be talking about. I was going back actually through our archive, Kip, and I mean, there's not a whole lot of things we have not talked about on this particular show. You know what I mean? I'm thinking to myself maybe needing to bring a special guest in, because we've done that with our starting lineup, right? We bring guests in, but then I think to myself, no, I think I'd rather hear Kip. I'd rather hear Kip for 30 minutes than hear some stupid coach.
You need some psychological help.
I probably do. So the last few days, I've heard you on Talk 99.5. I've heard you on Jocks. I've heard you on radio stations across the country. I've heard you on television and in almost every single show. And I actually joined you for a show a couple days ago. You did In Memoriam of the Lives Lost in 2024. We lost a couple of big names. This certainly wasn't one of our biggest years of losing a lot of celebrities. Not from my personal standpoint. We lose somewhere between 9 and 14. I think they say 9 and 14 A-listers, according to Rolling Stone. And we're right back in the mix there. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to put that behind us and start killing off the people that are still alive. I have a list here of about 12 or 13 celebrity rockers who are still with us. And I want to throw out the name, tell you how old they are, and want you to describe, and I'll hop on board as well. I want you to describe what it's going to be like when this celebrity dies.
All right.
You got me?
Yeah.
And the first one, I think, is a really interesting one, because I know how much you love their music. And it would be just like Ringo Starr to be the last Beatle alive. Paul McCartney is on this list, but Ringo Starr is 84. He's still on the road. He's still getting after it. Doesn't appear to be slowing down anytime soon. But when Ringo Starr dies, how do you think America will take that?
You know, it's funny. Ringo has made himself, has actually endeared himself to the younger generation by just being a weird dude. Mm. Tony, my youngest son always, and he's not that young, he's 31, but he showed me a video, and he always makes reference to it. If anybody says Ringo or Starr, Ringo did this bizarre video about 2 years ago where he said, "Hey, don't send me any more cars and letters. I'm just going to be throwing them in the ash can. I'm not signing anything else. I'm not returning anything else." And he ends up by saying, "Peace and love." You know, Ringo's a weird dude.
He is.
He has been involved with actresses. I think he was married, maybe he still is, to Barbara Bach, who was a
He's not still
girl.
Married to her, but he was associated with her a long time
ago.
Yeah, yes.
Which is just unbelievable, because she's way too hot for Ringo. I guess Ringo's bank account was probably healthy enough, but I don't know. I don't think America's going to really react to Ringo's passing as much as his counterpart that you mentioned, because I think Paul McCartney still embodies the Beatles. Ringo was always just the guy who was in the right place at the right time. They didn't even let Ringo sing anything on an album probably until near the very end, when they let him cut loose with Octopus's Garden. And I think I forgot the name of the songs, but I get by with a little
Was it George Harrison? Correct me if I'm wrong here. You probably know this, but wasn't it George Harrison that had a deal where he get to sing one song,
I think,
on each Beatles record, right? They didn't have that same deal with Ringo, but I know George Harrison. And George Harrison, of course, was a hell of a writer, too. But I think it was important that Ringo had a successful solo career. I mean, he really did. I mean, you look at some of the songs he sang. I mean, he had a plethora of top 10 hits himself, and I think a lot of people played into that. I think they appreciate the fact that, listen, he wasn't just Ringo Starr, that goop. But I will admit, I love the Ringo Starr All-Star Jams, because you're bringing in guys from Men Without Hats. You're bringing in people from Mr., some different bands that you normally would never hear in concert. I know he used to do stuff with Eric Clapton. Todd Rundgren was part of those deals. But those are, if you ever get a chance to see, and listen, it may be just a puppet back there. It may not actually be Ringo Starr playing drums in his own band, but he's not the most important part of that band, but it's everyone he surrounds himself with. But it's a lot of fun to go watch.
Yeah, when I think of Ringo Starr, Tony, I think about Pete Best. Mm-hmm. And I test people a lot of times. Have you ever heard of Pete Best? And a lot, most people now, especially the younger generation, gets a quizzical look on their face. I'm sure everybody listening probably is so, yeah, we have nothing but sophisticated listeners. So I'm sure that they all know that Pete Best was the drummer for the Beatles originally, just a couple of years before they hit it big, who said, you know what? I'm not down with this. I quit. I'm going home from Germany because I don't want to do this anymore. Not the best business decision of all time.
Normally, and I watch Fox 6 because I'm on Fox 6 and on ABC 3340, so I watch them. I watch NBC Nightly News as well, and very rarely will they have a celebrity death, the number one story, unless it's Michael Jackson, it's Prince, it's Lady Diana. It's something that was not expected, obviously, that those stories. And those stories are going to last a lot longer. Let's move to Paul McCartney. He's 82 years of age. You could certainly make an argument that he should be in the news for months on end after he dies. Oh. But he's going to die naturally, we're assuming. He's still getting after it at the age of 82. Hell, he
still looks great.
Still looks fantastic. Still has that boyish charm. And so I don't know when he passes away if it's really going to be. I mean, it's going to be a big deal. We'll remember him, but I don't know if we're going to talk about it for very long.
Yeah, that's probably true. As the Beatles kind of fade, they'll never fade in our generation from relevance. But I mean, let's face it, the current generation, you know, they're really not down with Beatles stuff. I mean, there are probably more Beatles fans. And I thought the movie yesterday that came out a couple of years ago did better than I expected. Mm-hmm. I talked to a lot of young people that actually saw it that liked it. If folks aren't familiar with it, the premise is a failing musician in London who was I'm not sure what his descent was, Indian or something, but he was just about ready to chuck in the music business. He gets hit by a car. When he comes out of his coma, he discovers that he's living now in a world where the Beatles never made it big or nobody's ever heard of them. And he starts recording all their music and becomes a sensation. And he knows it's a lie. It's a really, really good movie.
What's that called again?
Yesterday.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. That sounds fantastic. All right, brand new flick out. I can't wait to see it. I don't know why, because I'm not a huge Dylan fan. It's called A Complete Unknown. Bob's 83.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan. I think I started looking into Bob for some reason about a year ago, and it may have been, I think I was trying to find out how many children each rock and roller had, because I think Mick had just had a 1 or 2 year old. He was like 80 something years old. And I was like, how in the world do you have a three? Oh yeah. He posted a picture of his 3 year old while they're on stage in Brazil or something.
Boy.
He's 82. And of course his wife is like 26. She's smoking hot. He's had smoking hot.
Can you imagine having an 83 year old dad? Good grief.
Yeah. If it was Mick Jagger, I could. Yeah, actually, I'd hold on as long as I possibly could. I'd be rubbing those feet every night he wanted me to. But Bob Dylan, believe it or not, who I've never looked upon as an attractive guy. Now the kid who's playing him in the movie is knocked down, drag out great. He does the with the Christian Dior commercials for the spray stuff. Good looking kid. I don't know if Bob looked like that when he was younger. I don't remember Bob. Still had the macro fro thing going on. He still had it. But evidently Bob Dylan has fathered more children than any rock and roller on the face of the earth. We just don't know it. Maybe it's because women don't want Bob Dylan to be their father. Maybe he's just really good at hiding those things. I don't know. I read that somewhere. But Bob Dylan, when he passed away, age of 82, we going to care?
I don't think Bob is really big enough in modern society to create that big a ripple. I think everybody will care because they'll appreciate his role, not only in rock and roll, but I think in the cultural movement of the 60s, Bob was one of the major voices. And he also got involved in a lot of different political situations and whatnot. there was a mobster named Joey Gallo that was very, very prominent in the 1960s in mob wars in New York. And when he was convicted and imprisoned, Bob Dylan was one of the main celebrities out there demanding his release. And it didn't end up well because once Gallo got out, he was just as controversial and responsible for a bunch of mob violence as anybody. So I think Bob's a controversial enough character, but certainly he leaves quite a mark on music. Case was in Montreal on a trip. I can't remember what he was there for, but a friend of his insisted they go see Bob Dylan 6 or 7 years ago in some kind of little dive club, kind of a club. And Case goes, "I don't know what all the hoopla about." He was basically incoherent. I couldn't understand a single lyric he was singing. So if the younger generation kind of has got him written off as a complete has-been, I don't know how much of a ripple that's going to cause.
I'm throwing this one out at you just because I know you're a huge fan. Paul Simon, 83.
Oh, I got the chance, Tony, about, let's see, it was 2018 to 2019. Paul Simon was doing his farewell tour, and I was staying with my youngest son at the time, who lived right behind the MGM Grand, and it's probably the only concert I ever walked to. He lived literally a block and a half from the MGM Grand Garden. Wow. And I was so glad I went to that because Paul Simon brought all these international people with him and all these different kind of music and sounds. Paul Simon is an American icon. I think that will be a very consequential one because I think Paul has lived his life in a situation where he has not been, you know, front and center much. He's kind of stuck to his craft. He's not been controversial. He's never really talked about in anything other since. So I think he's going to be 100% appreciated for his music, and his passing is going to be pretty significant, I know, to me.
How will we respond when Frankie Valli passes away?
Oh, man.
And I just found that one. He's 90 years old. I
can't
it's funny because
that.
I heard a Frankie Valli song yesterday. It's amazing how I heard a song by him, and then I heard a Billy Joel song, and Billy Joel actually did an entire album based on Frankie Valli, the way he sounded, Tell Her About It, did all these different things. And I mean, he lives in infamy, and people still want to sound like him and listen to him. But he had such a distinct sound. He had his own way of doing music. He really did. Frankie Valli, 90 years of age.
I got drug in Las Vegas about, I'm saying 5 years, 7 years, it's probably 10 years ago. I saw Jersey Boys for the first time, and it's like, Jersey Boys, I don't know if I really want to see that. But of course, that's the story of the ascension to stardom of Frankie Valli and his band. And I tell you what, it was so good. And you realize watching that play, how many songs and how much influence, because like you said, he did a lot of things that really kind of changed the whole way that music was presented at that time. So I think Frankie Valli is another one of those iconic figures that when people realize how many songs he recorded and how distinct his style was, I think he will certainly register at the time that he goes to the next level.
I used to do my show in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think I may have shared this story with you a couple times. On February 14th, we had actually get a couple, and we'd marry them up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And one particular year, it was the year they had John Lennon's the shirt that he was actually shot in, the glasses he was wearing were on display. They take the fifth floor, and you know, 1 year was Elvis Presley's. It was everything from his TV to Graceland, stuff like that. And this particular year, it was John Lennon. And then right outside the studio that I was broadcasting from, there was a white bed. There was not a stitch of any other color but white on this bed. It was made out of church pews. The front one was a church pew. The back was a church pew. And everything was solid white, including a table next to the table of the bed. And then a white phone sitting next to it with a white sign written in white saying, "This bed is the bed that John and Yoko used to share when he was alive. If it rings, pick the phone up. You'll be talking to Yoko." So she had a deal with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that once a week, she would call that number. And if someone was walking by that display, you could pick the phone up. And obviously there were some people that were actually standing by the phone for a long period of time in hopes to talk to her. Well, guess what? I'm leaving my last day. I've got my bag. We're running late for the airport. And that phone rings. And of course I had to pick it up. I missed my flight. I said, listen, I'm going to miss my flight for this phone call. And she would have talked to me for as long as I wanted. I had her on the phone for 25 minutes. I did have a hard time understanding some of the things she talked about. But she was delightful. She was fantastic. She was very, very nice. And she was like, is there anything else you want to know? Any other questions you want to ask? Do you want to know if I broke the Beatles up? Blah, 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 blah.
How about that?
Was fantastic. She was a sweetheart. But Yoko Ono, at the age of 91, she'll be known as probably the only woman in rock and roll history that has broken up a band. And indeed, one of the biggest bands. Your thoughts on Yoko Ono when she passes away?
I think that will be a pretty iconic moment because... people will learn the whole story. And what you just related just fascinates me because that kind of violates my image of her as being aloof and distant and disconnected and just into her own thing. And that's how she's been cast. It's funny how, you still hear her. She's become a cultural reference now. Somebody who breaks up a relationship is she went Yoko on, that was the Yoko and the deal. When Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson parted company, So I think from a cultural standpoint, I think that will be a major, major thing. What you just told me just amazes me. I find that incredible that, she was willing to talk to you as long as you wanted to stay on the phone. That's amazing.
She was delightful. And again, she didn't split the band up. John did. Did he have some help? Absolutely. But yeah. I will say this, when you're a person like John Lennon, who is arguably one of the best songwriters that we've ever had on the face of the earth and will ever have on the face of the earth, it takes a special woman to harness that and to have that and to live with that and to understand that. And I think that she would have done whatever it took to make John's life as fruitful and as fulfilling as possible post Beatles. And I think she did that. I think he appreciated that for sure. Dolly Parton, she's 78. She's been in the news a lot. She talked about being in Playboy magazine, I think, a couple of years ago. Obviously, she was not topless in it, but she was in there for an article. You still see Dolly Parton's Christmas, specials every single year. She still looks fantastic, but she's 78 years old. Man, I heard a story. There's a hotel that I go to whenever I stay in Chattanooga with my family, and I go to Chattanooga, Tennessee a lot. We just love there's all kinds of Civil War material up there, and you can find
I love Chattanooga.
Oh, man, every time I go there, you think you've seen Rock City enough. I always find something new and exciting every time I go up there, and I love going up. We up there sometimes just to see it snow, but at the hotel that I stay in, it's right on Lookout Mountain. There's a giant Dolly Parton couch book, if you will, a coffee table book that's sitting on this table, and it still sits there. And I read it every time I go up there, and it takes it all the way back to the point that Dolly Parton had no electricity, she had no running water, they didn't have a bathroom. They had a huge family. I mean, her story is just absolutely miraculous. It's amazing how she became who she was and how she has given so much back to, there's so many things she does that we don't even know, but Dolly Parton, your thoughts on her.
You know, Dolly Parton came on the scene. I think the old time country guy that discovered her when she was a teenager, was it Porter Wagner?
Porter Wagner, I think that's his name. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the first one who prayed her out there at like 15. And I don't know what else he was doing to her at 15, but I imagine it wasn't just letting her sing back up for his twangy voice. Mm-hmm. But for her to emerge from what you just said, she was backwoods before there was a thing as backwoods. Yeah. Who was the old guy? I used to say, shoot, I live so far out in the sticks that I used to have to pipe in sunlight. I think that's probably Dolly's story. Yep. But for her to become the celebrity she became, and I mean, Tony, is there a bigger marketing genius in the history of entertainment than Dolly Parton? I mean, she has made all the right moves. She was fantastic in her film career. Great. Just a natural actress, can belt out a tune, still has the guts at 80, whatever, which is 78. So 78, this was what, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, or maybe even more recently, she still sang at was it a football game or was some big event? You know, so to have the confidence to still do that, she is just an American treasure. So I think of everybody we've talked about so far, especially regionally, mm-hmm. The loss of Dolly Parton will be absolutely seismic.
I'm going to get really interested by what you say on this next one, because we've never spoken about this individual. It's amazing that he's still alive. It's amazing that he's only 82. It's amazing that he's only 82. There's been so many reincarnations of this individual, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
I would have, if you'd have said, is Brian Wilson still alive? I probably have told you, no way.
I thought 10 years ago.
Yeah, I could have sworn Brian stepped out. I'm absolutely shocked that he's still around. I think just about everybody else associated with the Beach Boys has gone, and he would have been the heavy favorite to be the first.
No doubt.
Because this guy lived life, recklessly and just with kind of that attitude. He just embodies the whole California 60s countercultural kind of vibe. And I am absolutely stunned that he's still with us. That's fantastic.
You know, there were so many, and I don't know if they were ripoffs. I don't know if they came before or after the Beach Boys, the Jan and Deans. I got a chance to bring Jan and Dean on stage back in 1990 down at the Alabama Theater. And of course, Dean Torrance was still, coherent. Jan, not so much after the car wreck and the great movie, Dead Man's Curve. You ever get a chance to go check that movie? It's out, and he still has to hold it. He still has to hold his hand.
Before you watch that all the time.
I remember seeing that movie when I was like 12 years old. And for some reason that stuck into my mind. I don't know why, but I asked Dean, I said, do you think Jan would sign this album for me? And I've got an album, and he's like, hey, he'll sign it for you. But it's signed and Dean, Have a Bitch in Summer. And Jan never signed it. And I didn't want Jan to sign it because it looks even better having it just and Dean. But it seems like, I don't even know if Brian still, I know there was a lot of legal situations going on with the band, got really, really ugly and sloppy. I know the Beach Boys are still touring. I don't know if he's with the band or not, but he is quintessentially, the man, when you talk about that type of music, there is no other guy you could put that name with. You just can't do the Ventures. You can't do it. There is nobody else that comes remotely close to that type of music. It's just, it's him and everyone else to me. It really is. Yep. A guy I can't still believe he's on the road, but he's still getting after it. Mick Jagger. He's 81 years of age.
Mick is a beast. I marvel at Mick Jagger and what he's accomplished and what he's, the attitude he's carried. The song "You're So Vain," supposedly written as a tribute to him, or a shot at him. Probably sized up a character as much in art as ever has been done. I love the whole thing about you went up to Saratoga and your horse naturally won. Then you flew your Learjet to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. That sounds like a pretty damn good day to me.
That does.
So if Mick has lived that life, more power to you. Keep rocking, Mick Jagger. He embodies what's like we talked about Brian Wilson, the kind of music in California. Mick Jagger is the prototype rock star, and I don't think anybody's ever going to surpass that.
Here's a guy that has lived a good life. Every single year, he releases a Christmas card with all of his ex-wives on it. One of those, of course, being Rachel Hunter. It is one blonde after another blonde after another blonde after another blonde. Rod Stewart has lived an incredibly good life. He is actually coming on tour. He's coming to the brand new Coca-Cola Amphitheater down there in downtown Birmingham to kick off the 2026 season. But as of right now, unless something changes, he's not singing Rod Stewart music. He's only doing Big Book stuff. He starts singing that Big Book stuff where he starts singing a lot of the 50s and 60s music. Maybe it's because it's easier notes to hit. Maybe he just got tired of doing Hot Legs. I don't know. But for the most part, I think he's retired every part of his solo career, even Faces to that extent. But he's 79 years of age. And I'm thinking to myself, I always wonder how people will react when Rod Stewart dies.
Yeah, I think people, he's another one I mentioned on one of the other ones, when people really grasp the string of hits he had and how many songs, you know, he's the kind of artist you forget about a lot of the really good stuff that he's done every once in a while. Cause I like to listen to a little bit of, I won't say oldies, mm-hmm. but I guess they're oldies now. They're not going to be oldies to me, but they're Rod Stewart songs that come up that I don't remember him necessarily singing. The other day, one of those examples, The First Cut Is the Deepest came up, and his rendition of that is just fantastic. Yeah. I mean, the emotion in his voice, the way he hits certain notes, I mean, that song is powerful. And I said, shoot, I forgot Rod Stewart sang that. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, I really had a Rod moment there. Maggie Meg, fantastic. I mean, so many great songs that I think when he's gone and they do a little bit of a retro kind of quick montage of his songs, I think people will realize just what a giant in the music business he was.
One of my favorite songs by him, we used to play it on AOR radio, Every Picture Tells a Story, Doesn't. And of course, that was the theme song, or not the theme song, but the title track to one of his albums, Fantastic. And I always remember, too, he owned Do You Think I'm Sexy, which took a lot, because when the MCA folks came to him and said, listen, there's this new thing called disco and it's really hot out there and you've kind of got this look and you've got the bright hair. We think maybe you should change your music a little bit, you know, and this guy's coming out of, you know, Stay With Me from the Faces. I mean, it's in your face all night, rock and rolling stuff, trash in hotel rooms. And all of a sudden they're trying to get him to add some type of sprinkle of disco music into it. Next thing you know, he comes out with the songs, Do You Think I'm Sexy, which become a number one hit. Hot Legs was also off that album, and I remember that album cover that was the pink. It was all pink.
It's oh yeah, sexy.
And people were like, he's sold out to disco music. And of course, right after that, he comes out with his Young Turks album, which was a fantastic album in and of its own. He was one guy who could do that. He's one guy that could actually, they said, listen, we need you to sing a disco album. And he pulled it off as best he could with rock music behind it. So I thought it was
awesome,
fantastic
stuff. Let me turn the tables on you real quick.
Do
because
it.
I thought we lost this guy last year. And I think you'll be amused by the story. But I saw last year on one of these lists of people we lost, I saw the name Tom Jones. And I said, oh, I didn't know Tom was gone. I didn't know he was sick. My sons, once again, are in their 30s now, discovered Tom Jones somewhere along the line. And they are obsessed with him. And we've seen him in Vegas just about every year for about the past 10 years. And he stopped playing a regular gig at MGM. So I thought we had lost him last year. Turned out that was Tom Jones, some kind of movie writer and some kind of Hollywood guy. Tom Jones is alive and well still. We were on our way to a Tom Jones concert in Vegas at MGM back around 2001, and my youngest son was reading some articles on the ride over there, and he was going, this is hilarious. He goes, in 1967, Tom Jones played a show somewhere in London, and it turned into a phrase we still use, a knicker hurling frenzy.
He was the one that started. He was the one that started the panty throwing before
they were taking off their underwear and throwing it on stage. And damn, Tony, at 80-something years old, while Tom was performing at MGM, some very seasoned citizen got her up in front of the stage, and she threw a big old pair of granny panties on the stage, and Tom had nothing to do with them. He didn't even go over and look at
Tom. Now, take it back. Tom, back in the 60s and 70s, when he's out in Las Vegas on the strip, he's hanging out with Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack and stuff.
We're
talking panties that women were wearing into the show and taking off during the show and flipping up on stage. Now, as in the 80s and the 90s, it got a little funny. People would bring boxes of panties, you know, and they'd flip them up there, but they were brand new panties. But no, women used to, they would throw their panties up on stage because they wanted him to get on their panties. That's what he did.
I know.
And could you imagine, there's only one guy in the face of music that could sing a song, What's New Pussycat, and pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
And pull it off. He was fantastic. My mom and dad went to Las Vegas every year with a group of three other couples. There were four couples, Mose and Gene Watkins down the street, and then, of course, their son, their daughter, another couple across the Fies that lived right next door to us. And my dad would save money up, and they'd go to Las Vegas, and every year they had to go see Tom Jones, and they had to go see Liberace. And they go see those two shows. They must have seen both of them 15 or 20 times. And my mom would sit there and, you know, she'd come back and she would start saying just the name Tom Jones and she would start to rash. A rash would run up her neck just because she was thinking of Tom. And then piss my dad off. So like, you're rashing again, Jane. You're rashing again. She's, I'm not rashing.
So hilarious.
She would just say the name Tom Jones and she would say, I said, are
women
you?
Women just were crazy about this guy. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Case Kiefer, who came up liking Limp Bizkit and Korn and all these hardcore, he absolutely loves Tom Jones. Ask him next time that we do a show together, ask him about She's a Lady, the Tom Jones song.
Man.
It's one of his all-time favorite songs.
Really?
He absolutely loves it. It's on his playlist. It'll pop up if you're riding with him in his car, and he sings along, you know, she's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He just loves it.
I may have to ask him to sing it next time we do a K4WIN show. That'd be good.
Yeah, or have that queued up to start the show. He would absolutely fall out of his chair.
That is hilarious. That is great. Well, there's a list. I had Willie Nelson on here. He's 91. I had Stevie.
I can't believe Willie's still alive. What a beast.
I don't.
How do these guys do it? This guy has abused himself since he was 12.
I don't know if Willie or Ozzy even know they're still alive. I really don't. I mean, Ozzy said something a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, he didn't know if he was having an actual dream. He was dead, and he was still alive in it, and they had to snap him out of it. They had to give him some smelling salts just to kind of bring him back. But Willie, another one of those guys where, yeah, at the age of 91, of course, you dope smokers will sit there and say, well, there you go. You smoked dope every single day of your life. You lived to be 91.
Well, of course, we just had a president for 4 years that didn't know if he's alive or not. So
yeah, that's true.
I guess it's not unprecedented.
That is true. Hey, we'll catch up with you on Saturday. The starting lineup, we're going to be getting after 10:30, 11 o'clock. We got another round of playoff games, my friend. So looking forward to it. Should be a blast.
Yep. The playoffs continue, and it's been a great year for the starting lineup. Want to wish everybody, this is our last show, Tony, of 2024, and it's been like you said, an interesting year. I think we pretty much covered just about everything.
I think we got it, my friend. God bless and happy new year to you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Tony, same to you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.